Okay, good morning, everybody. We are on Sukkah, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, and this year is sponsored by Yitz Weiss, so we appreciate the sponsorship. He wants to remind us, shake things up a bit this tax season. We still haven't gotten to any of the shaking going on, but eventually it's coming. And breakfast sponsored by Bagel Munch, as usual, in honor of Jaime's granddaughter. Let's take a look at Zayin Amud Aleph, around six or seven lines down. Gufa, obviously Gufa refers to something that we just learned on the previous daf. On the previous daf, we were saying that certain kinds of things that you cannot use for schach. The basic rule when it comes to schach is laid out in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that that for schach, you need to make sure, this is the Mishnah down in Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, you need to have something that grew in the ground, no longer grows on the in the ground, no longer attached to the ground, and that it's not mekabel tuma. So that requires some familiarity with the tuma and tahara rules. Generally speaking, a thing that's mekabel tuma is going to be a kli and food. Kli and food. So that's what that requirement is excluding. So you cannot use food for schach, and you cannot use a kli for schach. So we're seeing over here, on six lines down, it says, Gufa Amar Rabbi Ami Bar Taviyomi Sichacha Bebaloi Kalim. What if you use the kli that's ruined from being useful, and now it's no longer useful, and you would throw it in the garbage? So like it's a shirt that's all tattered and all torn up, and so it's just garbage. So it's not a kli anymore in some ways. So it says here you can't use that. You can't use baloi kalim. You can't use ruined kalim, meaning that it was at one time it was a kli, so it was pasul eschach, and now it's no longer mekabel tuma. So you'd figure you could use that for eschach. I mean, you could only use a shirt for schach. You would only have even thought it's possible to use a shirt if the shirt is made from something that grew in the ground, like cotton or like linen, flax, but not. You wouldn't be thinking of using wool or polyester or anything. It has to be from the ground. So it's saying over here, you cannot. They asked it as a kind of a gzeirah derabanan. You can't use even one time kalim, even a kli that was at one time a kli is no longer a kli psula. My baloi kalim. What are these baloi kalim? These worn out or junk kalim. Amar Abaye matlanis shein bahem shalosh al shalosh. Even something like that's a tiny little cloth less than gimel al gimel, and these are not tfachim. These are etzbaos. These are little scraps. That nobody would have any use for them, and you would just throw them in the garbage. So even though they're not useful anymore, and now it's no longer a mekabel tuma, you still can't use it. Okay, Tanya Kivasi, that's what Rabbi Ami Bar Tavyumi said, and that's a Abaye's definition. Tanya Kivasi, the Rabbi Ami Bar Tavyumi, machatzeles shel shifa v'shel gemi. So there's a braisa that seems to confirm this rule. If I had a mat made of shifa or gemi, I don't know what these things are, but I'm just going to call them fabric. Shiareha afal pi shenifchasu mekashi ura ein misachachin bahen. Even if it's kind of torn up and it's now tattered and it's now too small and it's no longer useful, ein misachachin bahen. You're not allowed to use that as schach. So this is on the assumption that you can't use a machatzeles in the first place for schach. You can't use a mat for schach. People use schach mats a lot for schach. So this is not the daf for the discussion of schach mats. That's coming up on daf chaf at the end of the parak. But the point was still being made was that even if the mat happens to be all torn in shreds and it's no longer functional, you still can't use it as schach. That was the whole point of bringing this in. Machatzelas akonim. What if the schach mat, we don't really need any of this. We're just quoting this because it happens to be the end of this braisa. Machatzelas akonim. What if the mat happens to be made not of fabric, but of sticks? So if it's gedola, if it's a large mat, then misachachin ba. Then you can use that as chach. But if it's katana, but if it's little, and in this case, katana means little like person-sized. So ein misachachin ba. Then you can't use it And later on, and at the end of the parak, we'll get into all the ins and outs of mats. And Rabbi Lazar Amir, Afi Mikabelas to Mavein Mesachachin. Rabbi Lazar doesn't like the small mats either. I mean the large mats, because he thinks that it's Mekabel Tuma. Okay, why it would be or would not be Mekabel Tuma is all going to have to wait until the end of the parak. All right, two dats, Chotet Begadish. This is going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said the pretty straightforward halacha that if you have a haystack and you dig out a little cave inside the haystack, then that's not going to be kosher for schach. That's very obvious. Why? Because even though we learned earlier that a sukkas ganvach virakvash, even though we learned earlier that you don't need to have kavana l'shem mitzvah sukkah when you build your sukkah, but it does have to have kavana l'shem tzeil. But if all you do is you make a pile of hay, that your kavana is only to store your hay there, and now you dig out a space on the inside, so you didn't make your sukkah l'shem, the schach, meaning the hay, which is kashu l'schach, you didn't make that l'shem tzeil, so the whole thing is all puzzle. So even though I now created a cavity on the inside, and now I intend to repurpose this haystack as a sukkah, so that's called minha asui. You need to have chagasukas ta'aselecha, you have to build your sukkah, and build it means it has to be built, asiya has to be with asiya l'shem tzeil, for shade, so that's no good in a, so that's why if you dig out a gadish, if you dig out the haystack, it's not going to be good. It'll be pasul even the raisa. Earlier we had the mechlokas where there was a pasul the raisa the rabbanan, and we said there was a pasul the raisa. So now Rav Huna comes along and says an extraordinary distinction. He says, well, hold on a minute. Lo shana v'ela she'ein sham chalal tefach meshach shiva. Well, that's only if you actually, you know, produce this haystack, I guess the way you would normally make a haystack, which is, well, I mean, I'm not a farmer, so I don't even know how people normally make haystacks, but I'm just imagining that you take hay, you gather it up, and then you make a pile. I don't know. That's how I imagine a haystack. I mean, I know that in these farms these days, they have hay rolls. That's special equipment to make hay rolls. But imagining at one time they had haystacks, like in the cartoons, they had always haystacks. So that's how they make it. So it says here, well, what if you kind of purposefully actually tried to keep, like, I don't know, I'm not sure exactly what this is describing, but it's describing if you could imagine that you kind of kept a space and you dumped the hay all on top of some space, like, I don't know, you had a frame or something to hold the hay from actually, you know, lying on the ground. And so you have a little space in there. I'm not sure exactly why. I'm imagining for kids to play. I don't know. So then, a little space. And now, as you threw the hay on, you were aware of the space underneath this haystack. So this is what it says. If you have even a small space under the haystack, chalal tefach, of a height of at least a tefach, b'meshech shiva, and at least zayin al zayin of lateral space, somehow or other you're keeping all the hay up from collapsing down onto this little cavity here. So if you have that, and now you want to enlarge the space under the haystack to be a kosher dimensions of a sukkah, that's okay. It says here, Lo shana v'ala she'ein she'mechalal tefach meshach shiva, aval yesh she'mechalal tefach meshach shiva, harei zeh sukkah. Now that's extraordinary. That means that even though what I've done is I've made my sukkah kosher by digging out the cavity inside, but that's not apparently a problem. In other words, because when I dumped all the hay on, I already had the space there. So in a certain sense, I already had an ohel. I was dumping the hay on. I don't exactly know what you would do with the fact that you need, you know, kavana l'shem tzeil, so we're going to imagine that you have kavana l'shem tzeil. And the only thing that's missing is that you don't have the dimensions of a kosher sukkah inside. So I'm going to solve that problem by carving out the inside now, and all the hay that remains above is all going to be my schach, and it's all going to be kosher schach, and it's not going to be a problem of tasav lo mina asi because I did a siyas ha schach, knowing that there's already an ohel underneath, right? I have a space underneath. So somehow or other, that's all called asiya. And even though when I did the asiya, this would have been pasul. And the kashrus is coming as a result of my carving out the inside. That's not called min ha'asui. That is still kasher. That's what this Gemara is saying over here. And then, it's okay. Anyway, that's what it's saying. So in case a similar, now how would you apply that in cases other than haystack cases? Well, let's say I needed to lay kosher schach on, I don't know, a low-lying frame, and then I want to carve out into the ground. I want to dig into the ground to enlarge my space. So that would be okay. That's what it said. It's saying that that would be okay, even though when I laid the sukkah, the schach on, it didn't have a din of sukkah. But I can create the sukkah by carving out the space on the inside, and that'll be considered a kosher. That's what it says.
So basically, we have a dugout underneath a whole big pile of hay, but then you wouldn't have what's called the chamata meruba mitzelata. It would be like there's no sun coming in at all.
No sun coming in at all, right?
And that would be kosher.
Yeah, that was never a problem. It was never a problem of too much schach. It's always a problem of. Tosas on Beis Amid Aleph brings up the problem of too much schach. That's only if it really will not, it will block all the rain altogether from coming in. So Tosas on Beis Amid Aleph makes a comment about if it's too much shelter that you're not affected by the weather at all, then that's your house. And that's Beis Hashal Kol Hashana. And Tosas think that might be a psal.
That's the whole idea that you're supposed to be able to see like the
shelter. Yeah, that's an inyan, but that's not a question of kosher pasul. That's not going to make up psal.
I thought it can't be like a gakabua. So if this were like the schach,
right,
becomes something where it would be impenetrable in terms of rain or other elements.
Right. That's what Tosa is saying. The Beis Amid Aleph. Possibility that if it's really that good, if the hay is so thick and if it's so effective at keeping out all the weather, all the rain, so then maybe that would be possible. Maybe. Okay, in any case, that's the chiddush here of this din, that even though the Mishnah says that you carve out the sukkah from inside a haystack, it's pasul, but actually it may not be pasul. Tanya Dam Yachi, another brisa confirms that distinction. Hachotet begadish la'asos lo sukkah reize sukkah. Like a brisa says, if you dig out, if you carve out the space inside a haystack, it's kosher. Ay, v'ho anantanan ein a sukkah. I bet our Mishnah back there on Tesavim Aleph, I think, says that if you do that, it's pasul. Yeah. So that's the answer that the Gemara is giving here, is that obviously the answer must be that Elalav, Shmamina, Kedarav Huna, Shmamina. So it must be like Rav Huna's distinction that it depends. If you already had a little ohel going on underneath the haystack, so then you can enlarge it, and that'll be kosher. But if you just had the haystack just lying on the ground flat and there was no ohel underneath it, and you created the ohel by digging it out, and then that's your sukkah, that's all pasul. Ikka, others present this same distinction in a different way. Ikka d'ram elohu mirma. This is no new content. This is just another way of that the Amoraim presented the same distinction. Our Mishnah only presents one side. So there's a price that says the other side. So that distinction that the Amoraim are drawing over here, Ravuna, so others presented this in a different way, and the Stam Gemara here is presenting this other version of the discussion. Ikka de Ramilu Mirma, Tana, and our Mishnah says, Achote, Begadish, Lasos, Losukka, Einasukka. Our Mishnah says, if you dig out the haystack, it's pasul. It's not a sukkah. Behot, Tanya, but don't we have a Braisa, Hareza, Sukka? Amar Rav Huna, the Rav Huna comes along to resolve that explicit contradiction. Lo shanu ela b'she'ish l'mechal ha'tefach b'meshach shiva. Kan b'she'ein sh'mechal ha'tefach b'meshach shiva. Okay, Mishnah. Mishnah says, new Mishnah. Now we're going more into the defanos. So we know what the main rules are of a sukkah. The sukkah has to have minimum dimensions of a floor plan of Zion al Zion Tfachim. And then the elevation of the height has to be at least 10 tefachim tall. And those are the dimensions, Zayin al Zayin, and a height of 10 tefachim. Our sukkahs are not 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim is really too short to be comfortable. Our sukkahs are going to be more like 20 tefachim. So our regular sukkah is going to be 20 tefachim tall, even though, the minimum dimensions required would be 10 tefachim. So here's what. So now we're talking about the walls of a sukkah. We know that the walls can be made of anything. There's no restriction about the material of the walls, but in terms of this of the size of the walls, they don't have to be the same as the size of the sukkah. In other words, you can have gaps. You can have gaps, you can have openings, but you need to have some walls. So that's what we're getting on, we're getting into now. Hamishal, Mishnah says, Hamishal shel defanos milamala lamata. Let's say you're attaching, you're building your walls, your dofen, let's say, and you're starting on the top, and you're building onto it as you go down. Im gavoa min ha'aretz shelosh ha'tfachim psula. If you don't have the bottom of your wall reach within gimel tfachim of the ground, so then the whole thing is possible. Which means you have to make sure that you don't have a gap on the bottom of three tfachim. If you have a three tfach gap on the bottom, then even if you have all the rest of it is all solid wall, that wall itself won't count. But the other way around, but if milamata lamala, but if you start on the ground and you build up, im gavoa asara tfachim ksheira. As long as you get up to 10 tfachim tall, then it's kosher. And it doesn't matter, and the point is, as Rashi points out here, it doesn't matter how much higher than that your schach itself is suspended. You can hold your schach up however high you want, but the defanos ain't tzrichim ligah. They don't have to touch the roof, the schach. That is a principle that we might be familiar with from Shabbos called good asik mechitzta. Good asik mechitzta means goad is to pull, asik is to raise mechitzta. Go pull, raise the mechitzta up as much as is necessary for your purposes. Theoretically, it's a virtual mechitzta, but we don't say good aches mechitzta. We don't say pull down the mechitzta more than three tefachim. That's the way the Tanakhama holds. And Rabbi Yossi says, I don't agree with that. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kishem Shem Milamata Lamala, Sarat Tvachim, Kach Milamala Lamata, Sarat Tvachim. Rabbi Yossi holds that no, if it doesn't matter. If you start at, let's say your schach is 20 Tvachim up, and you have a 10 Tefach dofen attached at the ceiling, and now I have a big gap on the bottom of 10 Tvachim, so Rabbi Yossi says, that's fine too. I can say, God, Aches, Mechitzta, pull down gurachis mechitzta, even if the gap on the bottom is more than three tefachim. Where does our notion of three tefachim come from? Let's take a look. The Gemara says, "B'mai ka miflegi." What are they arguing about? Meaning the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi specifically. What is the machlokes in the Mishnah? Whether I can have a mechitza that does not approach within gimel tefachim of the ground. That is the machlokes. The Tanakhama holds pasul, and Rabbi Yossi holds kasher. But my kamif legi, Mar Savar, one of the Tanayim, hold mechitza teluya materas. Rabbi Yossi holds that a mechitza is kasher, even if it's teluya, even if it's suspended in the air, and it doesn't come down to the ground. Umar Savar, mechitza teluya ain't a materas. And the Tanakhama holds mechitza teluya is pasul. It doesn't work. That's the machlokas. Okay, it's machlokas, Tanakhama, Rabbi Yossi. Tanan Hasam, let's develop this issue a bit. Tanan Hasam, there is a Mishnah there, and there being in, where's that, Irvin? Bor Shebein Shtei Chatzei Ros. Let's say you have two neighbors. The neighbors have a stream or a lake. Literally, a bor is a cistern. Shebein Shtei Chatzei Ros. That's on the border between two neighbors, between two neighbor properties. Ein mamalin mimena b'shabbos. You're not allowed. Neither one is allowed to take water from that boar. Elim kein, unless they solve the problem that the boar creates. So what's the problem that this boar is creating? Well, if you have two neighbors, halacha is like this. Min ha-Torah, the whole thing. You're allowed to carry, obviously, in private property. It's an enclosed space. It's a Rosh Yachid. You're totally okay. Min HaTorah. The Chazal, this is one of those takanas that actually is attributed to pre-Bayis Sheni, to Shlomo HaMelech, the rule that you need to have an Erev between Chatziros, even private properties that are adjacent to each other. If they're open to each other, you need to have an Erev. Now, the Erev requires, whatever it requires. So the point is that if you don't have that Erev, so then you have to make sure that you put up a mechitza in between the properties so that you keep your property separate from the neighbor's property and that my space is my own family space. The neighbor is my own family, his neighbors. And then I'm allowed to carry in my backyard and carry in his backyard. We cannot carry across to each other. But what do you do about this little pond that's in between? So you would have to deal with that too. If you leave it open, so then I can't carry anywhere in my space, or at least I can't carry from the pond because the pond is going to be kind of shared. So I need to fix that. I need to put up a mechitza in between. Rashi goes into some of the ins and outs of why all of this would be necessary and why you couldn't make a joint eruv. And in any case, I need to have a mechitza. So this is what it says. Bor shebein shtei chatziros, unless I make a mechitza asar tfachim, unless I have mechitza there, kind of over this bor, I'm not going to be allowed to use the bor, and the other one can't use the bor either. And the question is, what mechitza, what is this mechitza going to be? So this is what it says. If I make a mechitza, asara tfachim, a ten tefach mechitza, generally speaking, that's not a machlokas. Everybody agrees that a mechitza has to be ten tfachim tall. Everybody agrees to that. That is given. Nobody disputes that. The question is only situating that ten tefach mechitza too high over the ground is the issue. So it says here, well, since we're talking about a bor, water, so then you can stick the mechitza bein milamala, bein milamata, bein besoch ogno. You know, you stick it, you know, it can be suspended above. That's the thing that we care about. The mechitza can be suspended above the bor, and you can have a big gap in between the bottom of the mechitza and the water level and the ground level under the bor. All of that's okay as long as I have the mechitza physically there. Now that, see, here's the thing. Nobody's disputing that either. Because, and it's very clear, Rashi makes this comment, and the Gemara and Shabbos and Erevin all make this point, that the Chachamim do tolerate mechitza tluya over the water. That is, everybody agrees to that. Everybody agrees that over the water, kal hu sheikila chachami b'mayim. When it comes to water things, and water meaning any water, that means these pond kind of things, or the ocean. So if you have a ship, if you're out on the ship, you can not draw water from the ocean onto your ship unless you make a little kind of a virtual box off the side of the ship in which you can now put your bucket to reach down into the water and pull it up into, and because you have this, I created a little mechitza over the water on the side of my ship to be able to pull water in and out. And so that, even though that's hanging over the ground is a mile below the water, but I can, that's a kula over b'mayim. In a water environment, over the water, a mechitza tuluya is kosher. That's valid, that's legitimate, everybody agrees to that. The question is, but what if it's not a special mechitza made for the purpose, that's what Rashi emphasizes, made for the purpose of water? Meaning, if I just ran my regular yard's fence over the bor, not necessarily specifically for the purpose of the water, that's what this whole issue is. It's a regular mechitza tuluya, not utilizing the kula of mechitza tuluya b'mayim. Okay, it's a little bit subtle, but this is what's going on over here. So we have this bor between the chatzeros. So according to this Tanakama here, you have to have a mechitza, and I don't care where you put the mechitza, because we're talking about mechitza specifically made over the water, and it can be high, it can be suspended. So now let's Amud Beis, Tezayin Amud Beis, Beis Shama, Yomri Milamala, Beis Hillel, Amri Milamata. Okay, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says, well, hold on, is a machlokes, a little bit of a question exactly about which one Beis Shama holds, which one Beis Hillel hold, about whether we will tolerate the mechitza to be above, over the water also, if it's mitoch agno. Okay, I don't really understand so much what they're arguing about, but the important thing is this next line, which is Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana holds, lo tehei mechitza gedola menakosa shebein ehem. Rabbi Yehuda holds that I don't need to rely on any special kulas of kalash nikil chachamim b'mayim. I can use the ordinary fence that was running along the whole chatzer, and I can just continue that over the bor, and I don't need to have any special mechitzos, presumably because he allows a mechitza tiluya.
So there's no problem with the water going between my property and this property?
Yeah, that was, we don't care about the water now, for some reason, agreed. And, right, I wouldn't be allowed to pass things to him, you know, under the fence from my property to his property, but at least for the purposes of the water, we're making. But anyway, the point is that Rabbi Yehuda here is being makel about mechitza tzeluya. That's the upshot of this entire issue. The entire issue is mechitza tzeluya only going to work in your chatzer, between your chatzer and the next chatzer, if it's special for the water, over the water specifically? Or Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't care. I don't care about the mechitza tzeluya in general, as a chatzer, between my yard and the other person's yard. Which really means that, you know, even in general, even if the mechitza, the rest of the property was high, it was higher over the ground, I would be okay with it. So, okay, so now the Gemara doesn't explicitly relate these yet. All it does is it just presents a similar machlokes over there in Hilchis Eruvin to the machlokes that we're seeing here in our Mishnah. So now we're going to explicitly connect these. I'm a Rabbi Bar Chanan, I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Bar Chanan quotes Rabbi Yochanan saying that Rabbi Yehuda in Erevin, Beshitas Rabbi Yossi Amara, he is following the same policy as our Rabbi Yossi and our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that Mechitza can be Tzeluya for Sukkah, and Rabbi Yehuda says the Mechitza can be Tzeluya for Erevin. So Rabbi Bar Chanan, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, is saying that they are saying the same shita. They are holding the same way. And now our Gemara, that sounds pretty obvious, but now the Gemara says, wrong, velohi. Actually, the later Amoraim rejected Rabbi Bar Chanan's analysis, or Rabbi Yochanan's analysis, and they said it's wrong. Lo Rabbi Yehuda savar lo k'Rabbi Yossi, velo Rabbi Yossi savar k'Rabbi Yehuda. These are entirely independent shitos. It's possible to hold like Rabbi Yossi our Mishnah and not like Rabbi Yehuda and Erev Chatzeres, and vice versa. So how could you give a good reasonable distinction in both directions? You know, in other words, not even a Kal v'Chomer. So let's see. Lo Rabbi Yehuda savar lo k'Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda would deny Rabbi Yossi's kula. Because why? Because I can look on Rabbi Yehuda also melebe Eruv Chatzeros, the Rabbanan. Look, all you know that from Rabbi Yehuda is that if we're talking about two backyards next to each other, where the Torah is fine with just carrying without any special measures to allow it, but now the Chachamim require something, so for their purposes, I don't care if the Mechitza is Tluya. But if it's something like Sukkah, Avalacha Sukkah is Doraista. The standards of mechitza as required for a sukkah is deraisa. So you're not gonna be able to tell from what Rabbi Yehuda said about Erev Chatzeres that he would agree with Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah. Okay, so in other words, what we're seeing over here is if you had to compare the stakes when it comes to sukkah with the stakes when it comes to Erev Chatzeres, sukkah wins. But now the Gemara has to explain why in the reverse direction it's not obvious either that Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah wouldn't automatically agree to Rabbi Yehuda and Erevin. Below Rabbi Yossi, Savil Rabbi Yehuda, Adkan Lo Kamer. Let's see, Adkan Lo Kamer Rabbi Yossi, Acha Ela B'Sukkah De Mitzvah Sasei. No, we're talking about what's the worst? See, it's a little bit harder to say this with a straight face, but anyway, let's see. What is the worst that could happen if you didn't have if your sukkah was really possible? What was the worst that could happen? It's a bittel mitzvah sasei. It's a bittel mitzvah sasei. So you didn't do any crimes. You just didn't fulfill the mitzvah you were required to fulfill. Aval Shabbos, but when it comes to carrying on Shabbos, the Erev Chatzeros' job, the job of the Erev Chatzeros is to keep people from overgeneralizing their permission to carry and make the error of carrying outside the house in the front yard. So carrying in the backyards to each other, which the Torah would be okay with, as long as you don't carry from the back to the front, that would be potentially an Issur D'oraisa of carrying. That's an Issur D'oraisa with as Isser Chamor. So, for the purpose of protecting people from violating Hotzah D'oraisa, they made this Gezerah of Erev Chatzeros, you can't fool around with that. So that's Rabbi Yossi was saying, look, I'll be Mekel when it comes to what's at stake is only the Bittul Mitzvah Sasei. Fine. So I'll allow Mechitza Tzeluya for a Sukkah. But not for Shabbos. When it comes to Shabbos, if people miss... Maybe the point is, like, if people misunderstand the rules of mechitza in Shabbos, that could potentially lead to people thinking they have a reshus hayachid in Shabbos in a similar context where it wouldn't be. And so that, so potentially, you know, what's at stake is it's you're playing with more fire on Shabbos and potential Shabbos violations than with Sukkah violations. Maybe that's what this, I don't know. Anyway, the point is that you can't prove. That's what's being said over here. You can't prove from your kula about mechitza tluya for Sukkah about what you would hold about Erev Chatzeres or vice versa. All right. So now the Gemara, that's the way it goes. I mean, we didn't really get anywhere in terms of the machlokes. We're just pointing out that there's a similar, but now we're being told, but unrelated, machlokes about mechitza tluya when it comes to Erev Chatzeres. V'yim Tomar. So now the Gemara says, well, hold on a minute. What do you do about that famous, that well-known story that seems to allow carrying with a mechitza tluya, based on mechitza tluya? And if you're going to tell me, you know, we're going to have to see exactly what the Gemara is raising over here. But if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yossi would not allow, Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah would not allow carrying on Shabbos based on Mechitza Tzeluya. What do you do with that famous anecdote? Let's take a look at what that is. The Yom Tomer Ma'isa Shanasa B'tzipuri Alpi Nasa Alpi Mi Nasa. Who authorized that? Lo Alpi Rabbi Yossi El Alpi Rabbi Shmuel Ben Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so we don't really know what that is. We're going to see that in a second. But the point is that the Gemara at first thinks that there was that well-known story that happened in Tzipori. Now, Tzipori is the name of a town near Tveria, I think, somewhere up there. And it was known as the place where Rabbi Yossi, the town of Rabbi Yossi, was the Marad Asra. And so there was apparently something that happened, and there was a Mechitza Tluya, and they allowed it. And so clearly Rabbi Yossi was allowing it. So what are we doing? We're raising the objection to what the Stam Gemara just did three lines earlier, saying Rabbi Yossi would not say his rule for Shabbos. He only said his rule in our Mishnah because our Mishnah is Sukkah, not Shabbos. But over there, it was talking about something about Shabbos. All right, so let's figure out what that's going on over there. All right, so that's what the Gemara said. Okay, don't be bothered by that, because even though Rabbi Yossi would not have allowed it, but his kid, his son, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, did allow it, although we don't necessarily, you know, that doesn't matter so much. But the point was, as Rashi says, Rabbi Yossi was not alive anymore at the time of that incident. And so so don't raise any kashas to how it was possible. Let's see. The Yom Tomer Maisa, okay, what was that? Umay Maisa, what was that Maisa? So this is all, you see, right, the side tells you that this is all in the Gemara Nirvan. Anyway, what happened to Kiyasa Rav? Dimi Omar, Pamachas, Shachachu Velo Heviu Sefer Torah. When Rav Dimi came, okay, where is he coming from? Anyway, so he's coming and reporting the following anecdote that happened. Pamachas, Shachachu Velo Heviu Sefer Torah, Meyarv Shabbos. There was one time when they forgot to bring the Torah into the shul. So what does that mean? So Rashi gives you a little bit of background. That gives you a lot of background over here about how, well, there was a certain time and they couldn't keep the Torah in shul because they didn't have safes and they didn't have security gates. And so they were afraid the Sefer Torah was vulnerable when it was in shul. Apparently there were goyim would make trouble, would raid the shul. And so the way they solved that problem was with that somebody in the neighborhood had to keep the Sefer Torah, and then they would bring it to shul, you know, in the morning. And there's one time they forgot to set up mechitzos in such a way as to enable them to bring the Torah. Or at least, as the Gemara was saying, that they forgot to bring the Sefer Torah Friday afternoon before Shabbos. Any case, the Machar, so the next morning, what they did was, Pirsu Sadina Malgabi Amudim Veheviu Sefer Torah Vekarubo. So what they did was that they brought some curtains out, and they draped the curtains over the poles, and they created kind of a path with an enclosure. And then that was the way they were able to carry the Sefer Torah from the person's home to the shul. The Gemara says, what in the world is going on in that story? That can't make any sense. So obviously the premise of the story was that these curtains that they draped didn't go all the way to the ground. They were suspended high over off the ground, more than the Gimel Tfachim, and so then that shouldn't have been valid for anything. and yet it was. And so you see that they were allowing mechitza tzluya. And don't tell me that, well, that was different. That was for shul. That was for mitzvah. None of those considerations made a difference.
The fact that they were building on Shabbos didn't matter.
That's what the question is. How did they do that? How did they carry curtains? I mean, if the point was they couldn't carry the Torah, then they also couldn't carry the curtains. Tosus right away makes a comment about that. Hold on, man. They could have worn the curtains. I mean, the curtains you could wear. You could just walk over
like
and then drape them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a talus. And then, you know, you walk over and then you just take it off and you drape it up. But Tosus, since when are you allowed to build mechitza on Shabbos? You can't build a mechitza on Shabbos. What are they doing? And Tosus explains, Rashi right away says, you know, you're allowed to build mechitzas on Shabbos, period. Rashi just allows you to build mechitzas on Shabbos. There's an Isser Derabana called Ohel. Mm-hmm. Rashi says, Ohel is only on the Gag, only the top. Can't build ceilings, you can't drape things over the ceiling, can't make enclosures, coverings, that's what you're not allowed to do. But mechitzos, vertical mechitzos, no problem at all. That's what Rashi says over here. Mm-hmm. Tosus say that is wrong. We hold that's not allowed. We hold that mechitza, obviously if it's kavua, everybody agrees you can't build on Shabbos. But this is a mechitza aroi, right? This is a mechitza aroi. So Rashi says you're allowed to make a mechitza arois on Shabbos. Tosfos say that's wrong. You're allowed to be mosif on a nohal aroi on Shabbos, mechitza, if it's letzniusa, but not lehetir, if it's not lahatir. So that's what Tosfos say over here. That's what Shulchan Aruch happens to hold. We hold that you're not allowed to make mechitza if it's materas, a mechitza materas, if it's going to have halachic significance. If it's only litznius of Yalma, it's only litznius, so then you're allowed. That you're allowed to do. And so what's going on here in this whole city? What's going on? Well, that's what the Gemara was asking over here. How'd they make these mechitzah? They couldn't have done it. Rashi says that no problem, but Tosfos say, I don't really get it at all. Anyway, the point is that we immediately solved their problem anyway by saying, Well, the mechitza, it wasn't that they built it, the mechitzas. That's what the Gemara asks over here. It says, what do you mean, pirsu? Really? You think they actually brought curtains and they draped them over the poles and they made a mechitza? They made mechitzas all the way from the house? The Gemara says, no. Elamatsu sadin and perusim agabi amud and behavior sefer tor v'karbo. The most serendipitous thing. Go figure. They found a little path, I guess, that was kind of lined already with some kind of curtains or with I don't know, combination of fences and house fronts and curtains and whatever. They were able to kind of discover that it was legitimate that they could carry the Torah from the house to the shul, but they did have to utilize the mechitza teluyos for some segments. And that's what they were allowed. And that was the whole point here, was that that's legitimate. So, yeah, fine. Vikarbo, so they used the Torah. Okay. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Ravimi. Rav Chista, now this is Amoraim. Okay, but now we're moving past. Now we're done with the whole Mechitza Tzuluya Sugya. Just so you know, the Rishonim are divided, incidentally, when it comes to Hilchas Sukkah, about whether a Mechitza Tzuluya is allowed, but Shulchan Aruch is firm that a mechitza tuliyah is possible, that we hold against Rabbi Yossi, we hold lahachmir on the mechitza tuliyah of sukkah. So when you make a sukkah, we're frequently, compelled to rely on all kinds of leniencies with respect to the sukkah, and this one would be invalid. We would not allow the mechitza to be more than gimel tefachim off the ground. That mechitza won't count. So you'd have to have the sukkah would have to be kosher without that dofen. Well, the string to make it lavud, we're going to have to see about that. We're going to have to see about the string. That's coming up. We've already seen a little about the string concept all the way back on Dav Zayin when the Gemara was trying to relate how do the sukkah rules relate to the Shabbos rules with respect to the dofen of sukkah versus the mechitza of Shabbos. So there was a lot to say in Dav Zayin about that, and the Gemara made it seem as if it was perfectly fine to have kana, and then just use... Oh, we'll have to see. It's coming up. All right, so now we're going to say a couple of rules about the dimensions of the defanos. Let's see. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Imi. Is that what we're up to? Yeah. Rav Chista, the Amora, Kos Rav Imi. Machatzeles arba mashu materes besuk. If I have a mat... Now this mat, remember, a mat for the defanos can be anything. So I could make this mat, it could be made out of whatever I want. It could be makabel tuma, it could be made of plastic. I don't know, it doesn't matter. So anyway, machatzeles arba mashehu materis pasukah. As long as it's four tfachim, if as long as it's four tfachim of something. So what are we talking about here, this mat? So this mat is four tfachim of width, but I'm suspending it sideways. So the point is that all I need to make sure to obtain for the kashas of a sukkah is a four tefach wide piece that how am I going to make this as my dofen? I'm going to suspend this heichi of it. How do I make it? It says, well, I just hang it sideways. Talile be'emtza. I have to hang it sideways, and I'll have to suspend this kind of in the middle of the space from top to bottom. Pachas me'shlosha lamata, within three tefachim of the ground. So I'm not, you know, it's not tuluya, right? So I'm close enough to the ground to be valid. So that kind of lavud will close up that gap. So it's as if now I have my three tefachim on the bottom is closed up because of this mat that's carefully being suspended sideways. And now the mat itself is four tefachim wide, which gives me height now of, I'm up to seven. Now seven is not enough. I need 10. But it's seven. I'm up to seven. And it's pachas meshlosha lemala. And this will only work if my schach is, if the top is only 10 tefachim from the ground. So I only have less than three tefachim left to go on the top. So I have love it on the top, love it on the bottom, and I have the solid solid wall, strip of wall in the middle. What are you telling me? We knew that. We already knew that you could build, you know, your defanus with lovewood. Now the same, achad lovewood amrina, trei lovewood lo amrina. No, I don't know. It's not so pashit. How do you know you could use lovewood for the top and the bottom simultaneously? Meaning, how do you know that I can, you know, I can accumulate lovewood stimos and then build my wall out of a combination of multiple lovewoods? So that I end up, actually, the way it comes out is rove of my dofen. Rove of the tenth fachim is being made virtually from using lovewood methods, and the physical substance of the wall is only four tefachim out of 10. So that's okay. So that's why it wasn't so obvious that this would have been okay. So kamash milan, that it is okay. I can use two lovewoods. Kamash milan, I can use two lovewoods. What does that really tell me as far as Hilchas Sukkah goes? That I can always use any two halacha l'mashmi Sinai's? So that's the whole question that the poskim have. Whether I can use Trei Hilchasa in building my Sukkah. Just also to be aware that this whole trick only worked because my Sukkah was a little mini Sukkah of 10 tefachim tall. But if my sukkah was 20 tefachim tall, I wouldn't be able to get away with this dalid tefach wall because I won't have the lovet on the top to connect to. So it'll only count as 4 plus 3 on the bottom, so it'll only give me a height of 7, and that's not good enough. So that'll still not be good enough. But if I physically, let's take a look. Meisavei, wait a minute. Meisavei, but that can't be right. Because we have a brisa that says the following: Machatzelas shiva umashu materes besuka mishum dofen. Wait, we have a brisa that says that as long as I have my mat for the that's serving as the wall is seven, that's kosher. That's kosher if it's seven. Wait, so you see that I need seven, which is another way of saying it seems like I can't reduce the amount of material lower than seven. So presumably what it means is, so you see, I can't get away with using more than one lovet. I can only use one lovet to make 10, and then that's all I can do. So what is this brisa? So this brisa says that I can't get away with it. So why are we allowing, and remember, who's allowing? This was an Amora. Amora of Rav Chista was claiming, he was the one who was asserting, he was saying that I can get away with two lovets. So then Gemara is saying, but you can't be right, because there's a brisa that says that you can only get away with one lovewood. So the Gemara answers, ki tanya hahi, besukkah gedola. No, that's talking about a tall sukkah. A tall sukkah, which is more than 10 tefachim. If you have like hours, a 20 tefach tall sukkah. So now I can't use lavud on both sides, on the top, meaning top and bottom, simultaneously. I mean, unless I have solid substance of a good 14 tefach, but I don't even need it to be that much. That's the point. The point is that as long as it's seven, so I take a band of wall and I suspend it within three tefachim of the ground, and it's seven tefachim itself of height, plus the three of the lavud from the ground, and that gives me up to 10 tefachim of height, and all the rest of it is open, and I don't care about the open space up on top. A good 10 tefachim of open space is okay. And we just said, you know, good asik mechitzta, and ain't tzrichim liga, and it's okay for it to, that counts as a perfectly valid mechitzta, no matter how high up the schach is. So I'm utilizing the principle of lavud on the bottom. And on the top, I'm not using lavud, but I am using good asik. So that's the whole question. Can I use good asik plus lavud? Yes, that's what our Gemara says for sure I can use. Fine. So let's just finish up to the bottom of the page over here. Oh my kamash melanda, Mishal Shalin Defanas Melamala Lamata Karebi Yosi. No, hold on a minute. Ma'ud the same chad loved amina and chay loved lo amina kamash berla. Maisli machzel shiva mashu materis besuka mishim dof and kitani besuka gedola. Amai kamash melan the mishal shalim defanas me lamala lamata ke Rebbe Yosi. Wait. So then the Gemara is saying, hold on, but that would also be obvious. So that brisa that's allowing that seven tefach mechitza. Is allowing it even if I suspend it gimel tefachim of the top. In other words, either the top or the bottom. But we wouldn't allow that. The Gemara is saying maybe that would be valid if it's suspended within gimel tefachim of the top. So I get the lavud on the top, the full seven tefach wall that's hanging there. That gives me a 10 tefach wall suspended from the ceiling. And Rabbi Yossi would allow that for sukkah because he doesn't mind mechitza tuliyah. We would say no good. This is why some Rishonim do paskin like Rabbi Yossi Lahakel, but we don't happen to paskin like them. We hold that it is no good.
We're talking about in this one here that would be from the ground to seven tefachim would be physical. And then
then you only have seven. But we're talking about that from the ground gap,
right, the three.
For 10 tefachim, and then seven tefachim, and then gimel to love it to the top. So the Gemara is saying that I'm suspending the seven tefach wall gimel tefachim of my top. That's what it's saying. But it's saying my kamash melan de mishal shalin defanas milamala lamata kerebi Yosi, that I'm hanging my schach, I'm hanging my dofen from the top like Rabbi Yosi would allow. Rabbi Yosi is the one who allows mechitza teluya, so he's allowing me to have a gap underneath my wall. So this brisa, that's the point of it. This is brisa is following Rabbi Yosi. Now we would say that you could pull this trick as long as you suspended the mechitza within gimel tefachim of the ground. So even though it's still only seven tefachim plus the gimel tefachim of the ground, and that gives me 10 tefachim of height, and then everybody would agree that that's okay. But the brisa was telling that apparently was obvious. So it's only telling me a chiddush was that even you could hang it from the ceiling because this brisa, without telling us so, was holding like Rabbi Yosi, who allows mechitza teluya. That's how the Gemara interpreted the chiddush of that brisa. But we, if we're holding against Rabbi Yosi, then we would not hold like that brisa then. And we would insist that it have to be within gimel tefachim of the ground, in which case, is there any chiddush at all? Well, not really, because you've built your wall out of lavud once, and everybody agrees that, and that's all that's required. But anyway, that would be what would be required. So we could not, again, we cannot have a mechitza teliyah in the sukkah. Amar Rabbi Ami Pasar Boa Mashu Matir Basukka. Rabbi Ami, also in Amora, tells us that if I have a four tefach wide pas. Now a pas, Rashi just points out that in terms of usage, a pas means it's standing upright vertically, as opposed to mechitza or machatzeles, which is horizontally. So now we're talking about vertically. A pas arba umashu matir basukka. Remember what the dimensions are. For the width, the wall has to be zayin tefachim. So zayin tefachim is necessary, not ten tefachim. So if I have four, umashu matir basukka, that'll work. Mishem dofen as a wall. How does that work? I stick that pass strategically within Gimel Tfachim of the perpendicular wall, a side wall, in which case that gives me lovut on the side. So I have a side lovut. The side lovut builds out the width out to a full 7 Tfachim because it's 4 solid plus 3 virtual. Gives me 7. The Chalpach Smei Shlosha Samach Ledofen Kelavut Dami. Gemara says, okay, Maikam Ashmelon. Obviously, it can do that. That's the whole point of lovin. So, Kamash Milan, the sheer Meshach Sukkah Kitana Shiva. What it's telling me is a chumrah that I can't follow. Remember earlier on Daf, like Gimel, we had a machlokes whether the minimum dimension of Sukkah are vav or zayin al zayin. This was treated as a machlokes Bisham Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel were reputed to say, you know, vav al vav. And the point is that we're holding Zion al Zion is the minimum dimensions, and that's the Chiddush. Tosus are the one who bring up over here, hold on. I don't get the whole thing. Why do I need a pass at all? Tosus say, why can't I just use sticks? Why can't I just use strings, sticks? If once we're already talking about a wall based on lovehood, then why can't I just make, essentially the boxing ring is horizontal strings, the vertical wall, we add a vertical strings, then I get love it, and I only would need two, right? To build 7, I just need 2. I could put 2 strings, and I get love it between the sides and in the middle. Or if I have a little 1 tefach wide band to stick it in the middle, I have love it to both sides, and that would be legit. Like, why can't that be what's going on? Why do I have to be told here that it has to be a pas dalid? A pas dalid? That's... You can't even get lumber in dimensions of pas dalid. You'd have to use plywood. So that's what Tosis want to know. That's what the Tosis going on to Amud Aleph over here want to know. Is there something wrong with using strings for your defanos? And they are ambivalent about that. They are not sure that maybe only for the dofen revi, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe vertical is different from horizontal. So it's such an interesting thing. It ends up being very vague in halacha, whether the boxing ring sukkah is valid. Because maybe you can't use just individual strings. Maybe you do have to have some solid piece of at least a dalet. That's interesting. Anyway, that's it. I'll stop here.